30 minutes? Any minutes to this approve from, no?
Why is that?
Huh?
Why is that?
Because we weren't, I wasn't able to get in touch with Sarah quickly enough before the packets went out to confirm if there were minutes or not.
There is, the minutes are in the package.
Those are just draft minutes.
Oh, okay.
From the last hearing for tonight's.
Yeah, and we should take note of the fact that the applications that we're considering were tabled from the last meeting. It's the only thing of any real consequence.
Okay.
Got a minute or two?
So Jeff, how's the real estate business? You just switched on to real estate?
I'm still practicing law, but I'm trying to get away from the litigation and moving into transactional stuff here. It can be one stuff.
Less stress, less stressful stuff.
That's right. When Lisa was pregnant, came home with me too many nights, just ball of stress, couldn't sleep.
And it doesn't get any better.
God bless them, attorneys, they can do it for 30, 40 years, but after 10, I decided.
Yeah, some of them get pretty gnarly though.
Yeah.
You don't want to do one of them.
No, I know not.
I think we've got everybody.
Everybody's here?
Yeah.
I know.
No, we'll go and turn them on.
Sarah, are we ready?
Yeah.
Are all the microphones on?
Yep.
Okay.
All of them.
All right, I'd like to call to order the Rock County Board of Adjustments meeting for November 5th, 2018. We have a little bit of housekeeping business. First off, I just want to mention, a lot of these board members don't know me very well. I had been the chair of this Board of Adjustments for over a decade. And then I stepped down from it, but the chairman is not here, so I guess I got roped into it. Anyway, from the standpoint of the board, before we get into it, we're going to start with Mr. Mark Wellstone first. And then we're going to move into the second applicant, which is Mr. Metzler. And I will be recusing myself for the Metzler hearing. As Nick is, we are business partners on the Sunlight subdivision, and I don't think it'd be appropriate for me to be sitting in his chair. Because we don't have an appointed chair or co-chair, we're going to need to have someone volunteer to be the chair to handle the second hearing. Would anybody like to volunteer to do that? I'm looking at you, Brian.
I'll do it.
Okay, thank you. Is that okay with the rest of the board members? Brian will step in, and he'll close the meeting as well. Okay?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
While we're on the issue of housekeeping, Mr. Metzler and I are colleagues at Colorado Realty. We've not discussed his application. We haven't worked on the application. I have no financial interest in what he's doing, but I figured I should disclose that to the rest of the board. I don't believe I have a conflict, but there it is.
Okay. All right, Mr. Pettis says, you heard it. Any board members here have a problem with him sitting through the Metzler hearing?
No.
No.
Okay. If there's not, Mr. Metzler, do you have an issue with that? Okay, thank you. Very good. Thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate it. All right, first order of business, obviously, is the Wellstone petitioner. Please.
Tom, excuse me, can we do roll call before we get into?
Oh, I'm sorry. We never used to do that. Okay. Somebody call off roll call, because I don't know everyone's names.
Okay. Jeff Pettis?
Present.
Oh, we should probably note that Jeff
Roberta and Brian are all members of the planning commission, filling in as alternates. So anyway, Jeff Pettis.
Present.
Roberta Marshall.
Here.
Tom Fox.
Here.
Brian Fitzgerald.
Here.
Lauren Clark.
Here.
And Brian Arell.
Here.
And not present are Steve Moore, Jeff Gustafson, and Don Pruitt.
Okay. Just keep me in line, Al. Just
okay.
You never know. It's been a while. All right. First petitioner, we'd like you to speak loud so that Sarah can take get the minutes. And
okay.
It's your chance to basically explain what you want to do and why you're here.
All right.
Your name, first to start with.
Do you want me to use this or not?
No, it's on. It's just attached to the recording.
Okay.
So you can talk. It'll be fine.
Perfect. Thank you. So my name is Mark Wellstone. I'd like to thank you all for your time this evening. And so I guess in a nutshell, how we got here is a pretty easy situation. I purchased the property in question 5 years ago. It has three structures on it. Two of which were built in 1970, which is my house and the small garage. And there's a barn that was built in 1978. At the time, it was used for livestock, and it's a small little ranch up there it was at the time. So I sold, when I bought the property, it came with two lots that were adjoining. The barn sits, it used to sit right exactly in the middle of the property line, basically. I was well aware of that when I bought it. And so about a year ago, when I went under contract with Cody Kurowski, who bought the lot from me, he and I knew that the lot was sitting there, or I'm sorry, that the barn was sitting there on the line. We just sort of made a deal amongst each other that, you know, he was okay with it as long as I didn't really do anything to improve it. And once it fell down, that I wouldn't rebuild there, that I would, you know, kind of come within all the proper setbacks. So the barn is basically used now just for its storage. It's where I keep basically all the stuff, you know, for the kids and everything else. When Cody went for his application for the building permit, he was made aware that he would not be given the building permit unless the barn was moved off the property. I had never been made aware of anything, and the only communication at that point was still between Mr. Kurowski and the Planning Commission. Alan, I believe, was the one in charge of that communication. So Cody approached me and said, "Hey, I know we have this deal. I'm super sorry, but in order to get my building permit, you know, we've got to move the barn." And so we were told that we needed to move the barn off the property line. It was a 46-foot long barn, and so what we needed to do, according to Cody, who's much more skilled at any of that stuff than I am, he's an engineer, but he basically said, "Listen, I want to help you save the barn, so what we need to do is cut the barn in half." And so we did that, and then we cut holes in it, and we inserted some steel beams. We jacked those up onto rollers. It was a ton of man hours. I had five or six friends helping. Cody probably had, at one point, he had five or six friends plus his parents. But anyways, over three weekends, we were able to move the barn, which was quite an incredible feat. We got it to right to the corner of the property line, and we knew that if we moved it anymore, it was going to fall down. It's a pole barn that was built in 1978, so it's been there for 40 years. Once we cut it and moved it, it certainly is compromised at this point, but we were able to keep it. At that point, you know, we weren't sure what was going to happen. We knew we hadn't quite moved it exactly 100% off the property line, but he was given his building permit the very next day, I believe, within 24 hours.
Nobody, as far as I'm aware, and I asked a few questions, and so I know, nobody came up to actually inspect what had happened. Nobody from the planning department came and drove the 15 minutes out there to look, which I was very disappointed in, because 3 weeks later I got a letter in the mail saying, hey, by the way, we've now discovered that you're in violation of a couple more things, which I'm not denying that the barn is in violation of those setbacks, but I've been treated as though I built the barn and within the last 5 years, and not that it's been there since 1978. So Alan and I definitely went back and forth for a few months at least on this. And at which point, Dan Weinheimer reached out to me and said, hey, listen, I hear you're kind of at an impasse here. Let's see if we can meet and figure something out. So I went and met with Dan, and that's how the application came about for this. I had to go through the Board of Commissioners in order to ask for the, I guess it was just the reduction in fee is what I was asking for, which was Dan's suggestion, because quite frankly, the $1,000 is probably worth more than the barn as far as the structure itself. It's worth a lot to me because it's my only storage that I have, but anyway, as far as what it's actually worth. So that's pretty much how we got here. And so the request is to leave the barn in its current state, to make no alterations or improvements to it, and, you know, nobody up on my neighborhood has any issues with it. I do believe one or two property owners may have written something in. I basically told them all that, you know, I was just going to deal with it. They didn't need to do anything. So, but, you know, if you have any questions as far as how anything went or anything like that, obviously, you know, I'd love to answer them. But that's kind of how we got here.
Okay. You'll probably be answering questions as the board members come up with questions. So,
sure.
Anybody want to start here on the board? Questions that you might have to start with?
Yeah, is the barn the only thing? Is that on? Is the house your property?
Yeah,
and then the barn is on your name.
The barn is 99% on my property now, and the tiny sliver of a corner is on Cody's lot. So,
because the picture looks like the barn is on.
This is Mr. Wellstone's lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is Mr. Kurowski's lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, my garage and house are kind of just off the screen there.
So that's where the barn's.
So the barn is
approximately now.
So you can see this like dotted line right there is where it was, where it existed when the building permit was applied for, and then this more solid line is where it currently exists.
Okay. Yeah, without having another home on the property, I was thinking your home was...
Yeah, no, it's a little bit confusing when you look at it. All that is the new stuff, the new build, and everything is the driveway of the other house. Mr. Kurowski, who purchased the land and is now built, you know, he really wants to see the thing stay there for a bunch of reasons. A, he put a ton of money and work into it. B, it truly is the only thing that kind of gives us a little privacy between the properties. You know, as you drive up, that's kind of the only thing that separates the houses. And so it's certainly not something that he would like to see go. And it's his property that it's touching, so for what that's worth.
I've got a couple of questions, one of which I think you may have answered, but I want to be clear. This barn has been moved. You didn't just lop off half of it.
Oh, no. It's been moved. It from the original footprint, we were able to get it a solid 10 feet, probably.
Why didn't you move it outside the setback?
It, like I said, it's a pole barn and built in 1978, so at that point, we knew if it went any further, because this front corner, basically right here, that ended up there, which was this one, the entire land slants kind of down this hill and down a little bit, so as this one came, it dug into the ground, and we had it jacked up on beams and on rollers, but as we rolled it, once it met the ground right there, there was
there was just no way.
And you're happy if we were to approve a variance on condition that the structure not be altered?
And I'm not sure if you have rebuilt that document or not, but that's already all been agreed to for sure. And Dan and I, you know, we made that agreement, and I had no intentions of ever trying to improve it or alter it. I would be surprised, quite frankly, if it were to last another 10 years. It would be a shock. I would like to replace it before then. But one of the things I saw in the application, which I just couldn't quite understand, was that it was supposed to be treated as though it doesn't exist. And so, therefore, it wouldn't cause any hardship.
I personally have always had a problem.
I don't understand that. It really would cause a lot of hardship, and it actually does exist. So that part, I didn't understand that. But yeah, I don't plan on doing anything to it.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
I want to be really clear about this. If we were to condition our approval, and if we were to approve, if we were to condition our approval on you're not making any improvements to that barn,
mm-hmm.
you'd be okay with that?
Oh, yeah.
So if it burns down, it's
gone? Oh, absolutely. Well, and I also have said that any structure that would ever replace it would follow all easements, fall within all setbacks.
What's the condition of the barn now?
As far as structurally, or just...
Yeah, structurally. You're implying that it'll be lucky to withstand another few years down the road. What do you anticipate? Is the thing going to collapse?
Another picture if you scroll down that shows it? Because you can see it pretty well. You know, it's been up for 40 years, and it's never been improved since then. So, that's it. Basically, what Cody did was...
And is this after it's been moved?
Yes. Yeah. So this is the new barn, if you will. And so it was, you know, it was another double that size, and it sat over to about here visually, I guess, and then we moved it. But what Cody did on the inside was he took some, like I said, he's much more skilled than I am, so this is a very layman's explanation of what he did. But he crisscrossed, you know, some wooden beams in there and drilled those into some of the pre-existing structural beams that are in there that are just the poles, you know, the pole. It doesn't have a foundation or anything, obviously. But he was able to, you know, to get the integrity back a little bit. What he did here, you can't really see it, but this is a strip of metal that he sort of brought in there and drilled in to shore it up a little bit. All of this is all just still original. We didn't really change anything other than the back side where it gets cut off, and that picture's not on there. I did take a picture of that one, too. But he basically had to replace, obviously, the missing back side with... he tried to use all the pre-existing wood that was cut off of there, and then we put a couple of extra doors that were laying around on there. But, yeah...
Did the staff not contact you when you moved the barn?
The who?
The staff. The planning department staff.
No, so we moved the barn over about 3 weeks, three weekends, I want to say it took, because Cody works afar, and so he couldn't. Anyways, once it was moved and we set it back down, what I was told was at that point he took a picture and sent the picture to Alan. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he sent the picture to Alan, at which point the permit was the building permit. And then we thought it was a done deal at that point. And then about 3 weeks later, 3 weeks to a month, I got the letter saying, hey, by the way, you know, you're violating another one. So
were you not aware of the setbacks when you moved the barn, or were you hoping to get that far?
So Cody was told, and like I said, there was no communication with me whatsoever at this point still, which is obviously one of the big issues. Cody was told you got to move it off the property line. That was what he was told, period. And so at that point, when we got it about 6 inches off of the property line,
yeah.
we figured, okay, you know, so that was... we were never told the 50 feet, and so I was never even spoken to about it. Cody was told, get it off the property line. We would have never undertaken that whole process of what we did to move it had we known it needed to go that far.
And you've already met with the Board of County Commissioners about this?
Yeah, and so, you know, I'll try not to be long-winded, but it was a very brief meeting because when I explained what was going on, they were like, this makes no sense. What do you mean? And they said, why did you offer to pay $100 for this application? Because I offered to pay $100 instead of zero for the application, at which point Commissioner Hermosinski said, wait, why did you offer to pay $100? And I said, I just didn't want to be confrontational. I wanted to help cover whatever administrative cost there was or whatever. And she said, well, hold on. I moved that Mr. Wellstone pays zero. This makes no sense. And then somebody else said, well, I second it. And then we, so it was, you know, I'm not going to pretend to know what they were thinking, but that's how it
was. So did you apply for a permit to have this relocated?
Relocate?
Yeah, within the county. That would be considered an alteration or a remodel, even though it's a barn. Did you issue for a permit to actually move that? Or did you just do it on the word of mouth that your neighbor said it needs to be moved because I need my permit to do whatever he was doing?
No, we were told by the Planning Commission that it had to be moved. It was moved upon the request of the Planning Commission solely. That was the only reason. At their...
Do you mind if I jump in and kind of fill in some gaps, please?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so pretty much everything that Mr. Wellstone has said is correct. Mr. Kurowski applied for the building permit, and we told him we cannot sign off on this building permit until the barn is moved or removed. And so they chose the move it route, and they moved it. And Mr. Kurowski gave me the site plan that was up on the screen, which showed it off of the property line. And he also sent me a picture of a string with the barn on the other side of the line. I took those two pieces of evidence as proof that it was off the property line, and I issued the building permit. And then Mr. Wellstone's correct that several weeks later we sent him a letter saying that there was a violation on his property. And so that's how this whole situation got started. The extent of the Board of County Commissioner hearing was just a fee waiver request. They did not discuss any of the criteria with the Board of Adjustment. There was no discussion of the application. It was just to consider waiving the fees.
That's not exactly how I remember it at all, but
there was, for the record, there was some discussion.
There was quite a bit of discussion, actually, because they asked me to explain everything just how I did this evening. So,
but that was
for the record, they know exactly what was going on.
But the intent of you going to Board of County Commissioners was solely for a request for a waiver of the fee.
After I had been threatened, I guess it would be the correct term, by Alan directly to be taken to the Board of Commissioners, at which point I said, I actually would welcome that at this point because it has been so unprofessional the way that I've been treated by these guys. And not only that, but there's been a complete lack of due diligence all along the way. It has not been done properly whatsoever. Not one person that I've ever spoken to about this has ever found any sense in it. And so when I was threatened to be taken to the Board of Commissioners and I welcomed it, that's when Dan Weinheimer stepped in.
So the details of the application is he's requesting a 24-foot setback from the south property line and a 1-foot setback from the east property line. And just to go into, so there is that comment that says staff is evaluating the application as if the structure does not exist. That is because when this structure was built in 1978, the county had zoning. We had property line setbacks. And if And setbacks apply to all structures, whether they need a building permit, whether they do not need a building permit. And as you know, the Board of Adjustment has seen these types of applications for structures that were built following 1972 that required building or that setbacks applied to, and they were built in the setback. And based on the number of applications for this type, we have gone to the Board of County Commissioners and asked, do you want to see a sunset? So if the structure has been there for 15, 20, 25 years, do you want to grandfather them in? And on all those multiple occasions, the commissioners have said no. And so that's why we are evaluating it based on if it were not there. And the reasoning that the commissioners gave us was, well, we don't want somebody to go and build a structure in the setback, hide it for 15, 20, whatever, however many years it is, and then, oh, now it's since I've met that criteria, that threshold, then I can have my structure. It just, it would encourage people to not comply with the zoning regulations, which is the Planning Commission's job is to enforce the zoning regulations, and it's the Board of Adjustment's job to evaluate those regulations and determine based on the five criteria that is listed in the staff report if that structure, that application complies with that those five criteria. And so that's why y'all are here, is to evaluate them based on the five criteria, and the regulations require that an application be in compliance with all five criteria in order to be approved.
But Alan, you're not suggesting to us that we can't consider the fact that the structure exists?
Based on direction from the Board of County Commissioners, you should not take into consideration that the structure exists.
Do you have something that you can show us?
Not right now, no.
Well, do you have anything in your files that you can show us where the commissioners
are? I'm sure we can find something, yeah.
Please do, because that's okay. Something that, as you know, because I've made that comment before, something that pesters me. I find it very difficult, if not impossible, to ignore the fact that the structure okay. is...
I mean, this isn't the first time you're hearing this spiel, so...
No. It's not the first.
Okay.
It's the first time I'm hearing it from you. But I should also point out that in connection with the next application, one of the remarks...
We're not talking about the next application. We can't compare applications. They're all on the same... They're
I know this
analyzed
separate,
on
yeah,
their own merits.
I listen to you. Now you listen to me. What I'm saying is it's difficult for us all to ignore the fact that a structure exists, because in many of these cases, we're making a decision as to whether the structure can continue to exist, and that's true here.
All right. Any questions for the applicant?
By the way, so that I'm clear on this as well, if we deny the application, you'll have to move the barn or tear it down, eh?
That would be a way to come into compliance, yes.
Is there another alternative?
I mean, he could choose to not do anything about it, and then at that point, staff would schedule it in front of the Board of County Commissioners for requesting them to authorize legal action to bring them into compliance.
Got it. Thank you.
Roberta?
Are you 100% sure the barn couldn't be moved, the additional whatever it is?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. I would love and I would welcome, and unfortunately it didn't happen, but I, you know, it would be great if you could physically see the structure in question. You know, it's definitely a miracle that it moved where it did.
And I would agree with that statement.
that it's moved now. It seems like you went to significant effort to get it where it is now, and I think part of the issue was that it was told to be moved off the property line and not stressed.
Well, and I mean,
there was a setback issue also involved. You know, it should have kind of been one and the same of you need to move this building 60 feet instead of 20 feet or whatever.
No, it was Dan's point where we met as well.
What do you? What is the structure sitting on now? What's the base? Is it gravel? Is it a gravel base?
Yeah. It's pretty much the only flat spot, if you will, and it's still not real flat. You can kind of tell that it just keeps on sloping down from there. So it's dirt, basically. Is what's underneath there is dirt and gravel.
And so, what is the what part of the structure is it? Is it like 6x6s or 8x8s or what's sitting on what? I mean,
so it's rail. It's pretty much railroad ties along the bottom that it sits on, mm-hmm. And then the front's got like a 2x6 basically underneath it. If I guess is what that one is, the big thick one there. But it doesn't have. It was literally what Lance Romick told me when I bought the property from him was, this thing was built by cowboys 40 years ago. You know, you'll be lucky if it stands much longer, but it's great right now. And so, you know, we did cut it in half. It was twice the size. So, you know, I already lost half of the storage that I did have in there. But at this point, that's pretty much what you get, what you're looking at right there.
So you put the foundation there, and then you pulled it over and centered it over the top and dropped it down. Is that what you did?
So I wasn't in charge of the operation, but basically what we did was the entire thing. So we cut holes in the side and inserted the beams, jacked those up onto some rollers, and then had, you know, it was tied up to a backhoe on the one side that pulled it. Hmm. But we didn't move any foundation. It doesn't have one really.
This is a staff question. What's the criteria for a permanent structure versus a portable structure? This has no foundation. It's movable. Is there criteria in the county?
It's still considered a structure. So,
it meets the definition of a structure.
So therefore, it has the same setback as the house did. This was in connection with the building permit for the house, which required the 50-foot setback. The same would apply for the structure.
So there's no definition of, you see portable cabins, you can bring them in and set them down on
right.
Whatever and walk away from it, but it's a structure, is a structure, is a structure, regardless.
Yeah, the only difference, we have a definition for a small structure, which this clearly doesn't meet. Okay. And that does have a separate setback requirement.
Dave, I'm going to ask one more time. Mm-hmm. You brought it out to a certain place and set it on, you said green treat or railroad ties, and you set it down on top of those. That's what it's sitting on.
No, it was always connected to that. It all just moved in one piece.
Okay, so
yeah, nothing new. Not one new piece of material was brought in, other than to mm-hmm. crisscross on the inside.
Mm-hmm. I'm with one of the other members here. Just went through a lot of trouble to cut it, turn it 45 degrees, and get it that far. It would have been nice if we could have gone 40 more feet, but. Or whatever it is, 25 people.
It would have been in a heap of crumbles at that point. It just
okay.
Couldn't happen.
So we have any other questions before we go to public comment? Not to say that we can't come back with more questions. I'm not sure if we're going to have any public comment because I don't see the place very full here. Any other questions? Okay. Without any further questions, public comment. Nick?
No.
Nothing. Okay. Staff, do you have anything else?
I would just like to note that in the staff report that findings of fact 1 and 3 are blank, and if the application is going to be approved, then the board needs to come up with findings of fact that support compliance with those criteria.
Is there, this is a question for staff, is there any length of time period or that something can be done? I mean, is there a maximum, let's say, if I think we've used it before, you got to do something within 1 year, you got to do something within 5 years or whatever, I'm not sure about. That's the question.
I mean, there is that standard condition of approval that says this approval is good for 1 year, or the approval lapses in 1 year if it's not acted upon. But typically that condition is in relation to a proposed structure, something that's going to be built. Whereas this one is an existing structure and there's no improvements or additions or anything proposed to it. So that condition was not included in the condition of approval.
Ellen, if we wanted to specify a condition other than the examples that you give to us?
You have the ability to do that.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. There is no public comment, so we're closing public comment. We're going to go back to round table. Now's the time to speak. Now's the time to ask questions. Everyone's happy, and we can go to the vote. Go to the motion, that is. So, any other questions, comments? Anything you'd like to air out here?
You know, I would be inclined. Well, go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, I mean, it just seems like there was some miscommunication in a way. It doesn't appear that they were aware of how far to move it. I think the word get it off the property line is what you're obviously focused on. You got off the property line, and it's like, phew, we made it. And I think that that's really where we're at. Or you may have gone in another direction and just torn the thing down or not. But I it's clearly, it says in the staff report several times that we're to base our valuation on this, that the building does not exist. And well, like you say, Brian, it's there. It clearly exists. So that's my problem with it. I don't see that it meets the other criteria, but I feel kind of, I just feel bad that it went through all this effort and the result is, you know, the county's looking for it probably is the same.
Do you plan to tear it down in the next few years?
Okay, I certainly want to replace it.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question of staff. Regardless of the outcome of our decision tonight, will Mr. Wellstone have an opportunity to go before the Board of County Commissioners?
If it gets approved tonight, then this is where it stops.
And if it's denied?
Then he has the ability to move it or remove it, and if he does not, then we would take him from the board.
But he can appeal to the Board of Commissioners, could
he? No. Any appeal of the Board of Adjustment goes directly to District
Court. District Court.
I have a question of staff.
Yes.
In the findings of fact under the denial, it talks about how there are other locations on the property outside of the setback that the structures could have been built. I think I heard the applicant say that property was sloping downward. So is there a topographic, not having seen the property, or there's no topo on here? Is that a constraint that we should be taking into consideration?
It does slope. I would characterize it as a gentle slope. So, in my opinion, I would say that the the land is, there are places outside of the setback that it could have been built.
Helen, did I hear you correctly when you, in saying that you felt that the petitioner's statement that the barn would fall apart if it was moved significantly from where it is was accurate?
I agreed with him on the state of the barn.
It looks to me as though there's going to be a substantial hardship and he's going to lose his barn if it's moved. And regardless of whether we are tasked with considering the application as though it was a de novo structure, I can't go there. I do think, however, that if we do approve the variance, that we should make it very clear that the variance is based on the barn in its current condition, and that as a condition of granting the variance, that the structure not be rebuilt, enlarged, or otherwise changed.
Okay, good comments. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair, excuse me, I'm the new kid on the block. And unfortunately, laws and regulations sometimes, they need to be enforced, albeit the result is an unfortunate situation, and it sounds like this is one of those. I'm sympathetic to how far you got the barn and where it's going, but if our job, and again, I'm the new kid on the block, so please feel free to help educate me, but if our job is to apply these five criteria as written, I don't see, regardless of whether or not the structure is existing or not existing, in a fictional world, I don't see how just enforcing these regulations we get to an approval. Under 3.4.6A(2), the hardship that's referenced needs to be in existence on the effective date of the regulations. That would be 1972. The barn was built in 1978. Or created subsequently through no fault of the applicant. I don't think the applicant has done anything wrong. The other one that is troublesome to me is related to 3.4.6A(3), related to the character of the property. And again, I'm sympathetic to the fact that the structure probably couldn't withstand another 50-foot move, but nonetheless, our job, as I understand it, is to enforce these particular regulations. And I have not seen, unfortunately, anywhere in here which gives us the ability to negotiate outside.
Okay.
Can I respond to that, Tom?
Yes, sir. This is roundtables.
Let's try one, first of all. That's in the disjunctive. Talks about an unreasonable hardship or practical difficulties. And if we were to find that enforcement would require at some could require at some juncture that the barn be destroyed, I think that qualifies as an unreasonable hardship. And I think that comes within the latitude that we have with respect to the interpretation of the findings of fact that are required both by statute and by the county resolution. So we do have the ability to say, I think that this is a hardship. The three, I think that's more difficult. It turns on what other property means, the property in the same zone. The difference here is, again, you'll find that I can't get it out of my head. There's an existing structure. And that's something that's different from other properties in the area. It's peculiar to this property because this structure is located within the setback.
And I don't disagree that there's a hardship. That's A1. But A2 references the circumstances which created the hardship and their date of existence.
Did you build the barn?
No, sir.
He bought it 5 years ago.
But this was built after the zoning regulations, which is the point.
Okay. We're going to disagree with you.
But that's okay. That's why we have votes.
It's okay.
We split the votes up and we see where it ends up. Since I'm an absent member most of the time, I haven't said a whole lot. On 3, I think A3, I think the majority of it is true. I think this is an extraordinary and a very exceptional situation, not that anything to do with anything, or condition that generally doesn't occur generally in other property in the same zone district. I've not seen it in many years I've sat here, so I do believe this is really extraordinary and exceptional situation that generally doesn't occur in other properties in the same zone district. Comment 1972 was backed up. This county had no regulation, and one day in 1972, all of a sudden there was regulation, setbacks, everything else. And this is not throwing water on any of it, but there's a reality check between going from a non-regulated society to suddenly there's a regulated society. How many people in 72 actually know that? So, in that period of time, there's probably a lot of people who are just still building wherever they wanted to build, and it's my property, you can do whatever you want. Now, to the point that was said, now, if someone were to build a structure and hide it, that's pretty obvious. That didn't fall into that period where last year we were unregulated, this year we're regulated, and some of these old farmers, probably old ranchers, sorry, Kansas, I call them farmers, ranchers probably didn't even know their regulation for many years until they heard about it or whatever. That's not an excuse, and it's not to say that we should take that into consideration. If I were having a discussion with the commissioners, I'd say, I agree with the fact that we don't want people to build buildings and after 20 years, because they hit them well, that they're automatically grandfathered in. I don't agree with that at all. But maybe way back when there wasn't regulation, maybe that should be considered. And the sunset should start from that period forward, maybe 15 years or whatever. But that's not for tonight. That's not for this request. There's a chance that we could deny I might be wrong on this. We could deny the application. If we deny, then it's over. There's no more conditions. So I'll take that back. If we approve, we could approve the conditions, possibly that is allowed to stay there and demolition has to occur within 3 years or something like that. I don't know. I've never heard it or done it, but we have to be. He says if the thing's going to fall down, he's going to build a new building and probably tear it down. I don't know that, but. And we're not here to negotiate with the applicant. I feel a lot of senses of uneasiness about what's going on here. And I feel it up and down the board here. So with that said, any other discussion? Because I'm going to ask for a motion. And if the motion passes, it passes. If it doesn't, we'll go for a second motion. Okay.
I'll move that we grant the variance. I believe that an unreasonable hardship would be imposed on the applicant if the variance were not granted. It is an existing structure, and I have heard no one contradict the statement that it can't be moved to comply with the setback requirements. As far as two is concerned, the finding of fact by the staff, I would accept. As far as three is concerned, I again say that the I believe the property is something more than just the dirt. Again, we're dealing with an existing structure, and that's a condition that doesn't generally occur with respect to the other properties in the neighborhood. Tom, we have, you know, I'm always here. We invariably will consider two or three times a year property on which an existing structure encroaches on the setback. And I was asked by the commissioners when I was renewed, do you generally approve applications? And my response was, yes, we do generally approve applications because the staff does a very good job of discouraging applications that have no substance. As far as four is concerned, I'm happy with the finding of fact by the staff. As far as five is concerned, the same. As far as the conditions are concerned, I don't see one applying, but I'm okay with it being there. Two, I would elaborate upon two, and that is I would condition our approval on an approval of the structure as it now stands, and that the structure cannot be rebuilt, cannot be enlarged. The same conditions that would normally apply with respect to prior existing condition are stated in the section of the statute that is included in our packet. I don't propose that we place any time on the structure having to be rebuilt within the setbacks.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion. We're going to go into discussion. So we have a motion to grant variance.
Excuse me. We need a second before any discussion can proceed. We need a second before any discussion can proceed.
I'm going there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just getting too wordy, that's all.
All right.
We have a motion to accept the variance with the conditions as stated. All right. So with that said, we have a second.
I'll second it.
Okay.
I want to hear that.
We have a second. All right. Now, discussion based on the motion being stated as such. Discussion.
On number three, Brian, how are we going to, on findings of fact number three, What was your wording there? The property use variance requested.
So there is
exceptional. It's the fact that the building exists.
The building exists.
You just had a word in there based on extraordinary and exceptional situation. Did you state that?
I believe the extraordinary and exceptional situations or conditions exist. That they do not occur generally on other property in the same zone. And I consider the word property broadly to include any state that's currently on the property. have to say all that. It suffices to say that the distinction this property has that others in the neighborhood don't have is that there's an existing structure with the setbacks.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I think it's fair to also point out that this property is only 1.67 acres. Is that, am I reading that right?
That's correct.
And the 50-foot setback that's normally required in an MRE zone is related to a 5-acre parcel. So to me, that would be a difference in an exceptional situation. And so it could apply to 3 or A3. Another issue that I think might be taken into consideration is the fact that when the barn was built, the property owner owned both lots, and it was in violation. I don't know, the staff needs to help me with this. I'm not sure whether or not MRE zoning even existed in 1978, or...
It did not.
No, so it did.
Oh, in 78?
In 70, yeah. When zoning was enacted in 72, MRE was in existence, and so this subdivision was platted in 1969 prior to zoning, and so when the county enacted zoning, they applied the zone district that fit its situation the best, which was MRE. And you're correct that the MRE zone district has a 5-acre minimum lot size. So, but at the time, that was the, and currently, that's the best zone district that fits this situation.
I think my point, though, is that the lot is smaller than what the normal 50-foot setback is pretty generous when you've only got 1.67 acres. So, I struggle a little bit more with A1. Maybe somebody else can help provide a better explanation as to why the project should be approved under A1.
You're not persuaded by the fact that the structure, if moved, is in danger of falling apart?
Well, I would be, except for the direction that we've gotten from staff, which is that we're not supposed to consider that the structure exists, so that's the dilemma. That would have been my initial reaction.
Yeah, we act as an independent body. If the commissioners expressed a desire that we consider the application in a certain fashion, we're not bound by them. We're bound by the state statute, which is accurately stated in the requirements, and we're bound by the zoning resolution, which is accurately stated in the requirements, but any gloss on that, we're not bound by that.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, the desire of the county commissioners may be a good one, in their opinion, or others, but it's not statutory. They can't just randomly make law by just saying, this is what we desire, and all everybody's going to live by. It's just, I find that a little troubling myself, that to sweep it off, the building doesn't exist. That would mean that every building that doesn't exist, with that statement alone, would basically say, why are we even here? Everything has to be removed or moved.
True.
Why are we even here?
Yeah, because
it really trumps
everything. Too. The statement, and several times it stated that, pretend it doesn't exist. Well, if we did, then it doesn't work. But the fact that the building is there, Brian, and thanks, because the county commissioners haven't always listened to my recommendation.
Again, if I was judge, jury, and executioner, it was only up to me, I'd say, fine, you can have your bargain. But unfortunately, we're bound maybe not by what the commissioners say, but we are abiding by what the law says. Mm-hmm. And I do find it somewhat difficult to believe that a substantial hardship exists when the applicant himself says that the building is a strong wind from falling apart on its own.
If I may, the barn is not empty. It's full of storage, a vehicle, every single tool and yard equipment piece of thing I have, as well as a ton of bicycles, kids' toys. So were that structure not to exist, there's absolutely nowhere for that to go. So it's easy for you to say, but it's not empty. It's not just sitting there.
But what happens when the building blows down?
A strong wind away, it might last 5 years. It's a pole barn that was built in 1978. So I don't remember saying a strong wind. It was a strong wind away from being blown down at all.
Okay. All right. let me throw this out here. As part of the conditions or the criteria, conditional approval, I would certainly want to add a condition of approval, just based on a conversation we've been hearing, is that building probably should be looked at and make sure they're structurally sound. You have children, you're in there, other people are in there. If that building passes some kind of a engineer saying that this building isn't just going to collapse, that thing has 3 feet of snow on it, and your kids are in there playing, and you've got a 50-mile-an-hour gust of wind on the side and come down on them, who's going to be responsible, you know? So, with that said, we saw the Arnold barn just get moved here two, 3 weeks ago, and there are certain things that can be done to stabilize the structure. I'm more concerned, regardless, that building is there, is who's safe inside of it.
What?
You know, there's no cross. I don't know if there's bracing. You can tell us. Maybe there's diagonal bracing. Maybe there is. Maybe there isn't. It's not attached to the ground. Can the wind just tip it over? I don't know. So I would add that as a friendly criteria to the motion that it should be inspected. And I'm not saying that it has to meet the building department, because I don't know that the new building code for an old structure like this would be adequate. It'd be reasonable. But I think it being structurally sound enough to be used for human usage should be. So
it's used for storage. I mean, I'm not sure who would pay for that inspection. That was the whole point with Dan and I meeting in the first place, you know. So it's kind of gets us back to that exact same spot again.
I understand. We're here.
There's already been a lot of money.
We're here talking about a $1,000 building. Your words exactly. We're spending a lot of time on a $1,000 building, okay? So I'm just trying to add some...
My kids don't ever go in there. It's for storage. I mean, that's not a play area, obviously. I'm the only individual that even uses that goes in there.
Okay.
So I would be responsible.
Anyway,
what opinion would we take, Joe?
You'd probably have to have a structural engineer look at it.
I have no problem with you.
I mean, if that by itself kills the deal, well, then it kills the deal. But, we can't go out and build something that to store things in that doesn't have some ability to stand there on its own with wind and snow load and everything else. So, anyway.
I'm sorry, Brian, did you say that you were fine with the friendly amendment?
I did.
Okay. Any other comments, or are we going to go to vote? One stop. So we're going to go to vote. All in favor of granting this variance with one additional criteria as mentioned, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. And opposed is we have four ayes and two opposed.
Yes.
Okay. Four ayes and two. Okay. So
yes. Could we get rationale for why you opposed it?
Like I said, I personally believe that it's my personal beliefs aside, the regulations being what they are, I don't believe that the hardships, which were created after the enactment of the zoning regulations, are things that we should be considered, particularly in considering the other regulation that indicates that we are not to consider make a decision based on personal convenience, profit, etc. I can't recall the exact language, but the two tie closely together. And also the third component that, unfortunate as it is, as difficult as it may be to move barn, there are other places on the land where it can be farmed.
Okay. Everybody has the right to say that.
Perfect. I denied it. Lot for the same reason. He'd made an attempt at moving it before. By all means, I appreciate your efforts to getting it to where you got it. Should have been person's responsibility relocating that barn to get it where it needed to go, and looking at the properties or other places it could have been located. And the fact that I'm looking at it as a temporary structure, and it's not going to be standing who knows how long. It's up to the owner and Mother Nature. I deny the motion.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
I shall refuse myself.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody's time.
Enjoy the book.
You'll never invite me back.
We should note that Tom recused himself and he stated the reasons.
Yeah, Sarah will get it.
Thanks, Sarah.
Nice to see you.
Hey, nice to see you too.
You
too. See what we're told,
whatever you got.
Yeah, thanks.
You
don't
lose
your
job?
Not yet.
Get you a little mouth.
Well, we have to wait until the 6 month
appointment for the baby. Oh, that is, yeah. Take care. Those are very difficult shoes to fill, and I won't even presume to suggest that I can do it. We're considering the Metzler variance. It's activity number PL-18-174. The required setback is 50 feet from the property lines that pertain to this request. We're requesting to approve a setback of 14.71 feet from the north property line for, there's that nasty word again, existing non-conforming structure, and 42.92 feet from the north property line for a new construction to enclose the deck. Nick, I was here when you made your initial presentation, but I don't think the other members were. It would probably benefit you to treat it as though it's
okay.
New.
Okay. Well, good evening. My name is Nick Metzler, and appreciate your time tonight. Considering a variance on the property, 3.5 acre parcel that my wife and I and family bought this summer. I don't know if Chris, you could pull up or whoever.
Which one would you like up?
The site, of kind of looking down, we're looking.
Oh, and I have some larger. Do you guys have the large site plans? Did you all get that?
I did.
Chris,
I think the ones that we've got are pretty easy to read.
This is proper. Is it okay to go away from the microphone?
Sure.
Okay. So, just to kind of explain, this property is 3.5 acres. It's located about 1 mile north of the middle school, Strawberry Park Middle School, maybe 1.5 miles north of that. Just maybe a quarter mile past the 38 turn off the Buffalo Pass. This is the county road right here. It's adjacent to Duck County Road 36. As you can see, it's kind of a boot shape. You can't tell this from this diagram here, but there's actually a irrigation ditch right here, also right here, and then it's just full of trees, large cottonwoods, probably 100-year-old cottonwoods, also large pine and aspen. It's full of trees in the area of the improvements. When we were looking at doing the due diligence on this property when we had under contract this summer, we were problem solving how to utilize the buildings. This building right here and this one here are the two that were in discussion tonight. We had those inspected by a local engineer, and the engineer was enthusiastic about structure. He was apparently a master woodworker that built the buildings, last name of Erickson. Those that have been around the valley for a while, familiar with the name, apparently did great quality work, and both the roof and the foundation, all side walls, were structurally full of just very strong, a lot of integrity to the building. This actually encouraged us along as potentially repurposing these buildings. This one being the main part of the house, this one being a bedroom. And we were looking positively at trying to make that our home for our family. This, just so you see it, this one here, built prior to 72, it's late 60s. And this one here was in the early 70s, but nobody's got an exact date, but this one's outside the setback. You can see the 50-foot setback going around the property. So, legally, we can use the building right now, and this one. However, you can see there's a deck that sits up about 2 feet that connects the two buildings, and that's the area that we would like to propose a variance. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chris. We're actually looking for two variances. One is to make the connection, because as the 50-foot setback right here, we would actually be adding to the encroachment at 43 feet. Is that correct?
I think that's right.
This is... I can't quite read it. I think I'm either too close or it's a little bit blurry.
Might be blurry. 42.92
feet to the edge of this legal non-conforming building right here. So to actually connect to here is one of the variance requests. The other variance request is this building right here, apparently, if it burned down, would require a variance if, you know, if we lost the structure. And so we're sort of asking for that variance at the same time. The first one being the most important to us, being able to connect the two buildings. We're trying to make two residences, or two buildings, one building. As you guys know, we've been through Strawberry Park, which I'm sure all of you have. This is very common. This was a smaller acreage approved again before 72. I'm sure that Mr. Erickson was very familiar with regulations at the time. And we've found that repurposing the building would be a much better use of just not only the land, but the materials, the structures themselves. And we've had a number of, I'm just going to say, professionals in land use and construction that, you know, all believe this is a great option for this property. I did, when we decided to go ahead and go forward with the variance request, I did meet with all four adjacent property owners, which all of them enthusiastically encouraged us to, because if there would have been one of the four or any objections, we would have not, I wouldn't be here right now. It was very important to me to come in as a neighbor and make sure there weren't any issues. Two of them, I think, did write in a letter of support. But basically, when you're these folks wrote in a report here encouraging us to do it, because the alternative is really to not use the buildings and push out here. You can't see it here, but there's a seasonal stream that runs right through here. And it goes from heavily treed to open pasture and meadow right out here. And this would be a really, really beautiful home site out here. But you would more or less either have to, make all those buildings nothing but buildings or tear them down, one of the two. They could stay structurally there legally and stay there, unlike the fellow before me. However, we've felt like this is part of the fabric of the Strawberry Park. There's buildings just like these. You'll see them all over, and we actually think Steamboat values. Trying to stay away from sprawl, longer driveways, newer homes out in the middle of meadows. I know the neighbors are encouraging because that would protect all their view corridors, and I don't know if any of that's important to consideration. But we found their encouraging comments to do this that they wouldn't even see the variance physically, meaning the structure. So last month, Brian, this structure right here, I had mentioned that we wanted to pop in some windows. And this is where we got stuck last time I was here, got tabled, because we didn't have enough definition to this structure right here. And if, Chris, if you could pull up that information, elevations.
I had it up. Oh, sorry. Gotta slow down my fingers here.
That's it. So, Bill Rangish sketched this out by hand. This isn't really, but you can see, this is the edge of the existing building. It's within the 50 feet. This is the 50-foot line right here. And this is the north building that I was mentioning. This is the area of the variance request right here to connect the two buildings. This would probably be a stairwell because inside this building here, the way it's a post and beam construction, it's nearly impossible to get. There's an actual spiral staircase right now that's unsafe. It's a very neat, unique, antique type stairwell that you wouldn't be able to ever get anybody up there because of its tightness. You wouldn't be able to build those today, but you actually need to put in a new stairwell, which we would plan in the inside this connection. And this would connect to this building here. This is the two windows. This is the east elevation. This building here, it would not go higher than it is right now. It would not go, the footprint wouldn't get any wider. So all we're doing is adding some windows to get some light in the building. And if you wanted to show on that there, I think there's another perspective of it. This is the north-facing look at that north building. I think there's one more.
Here is the... Oops, sorry.
Here we go. And then this is the backside right here. You can see the variance request again. I don't know, Brian, last time we talked, you were mentioning trying to combine the two together, and I don't know the technicalities of all that. Matter of fact, it was Chris's suggestion. I appreciated her bringing it up, that if you're going to improve this with higher quality finishes inside and it's going to be a bedroom, it'd be nice to know if it burned down, you could replace it without coming back to you guys for a variance. So this one is the most important one to us, to be able to utilize the two into one building. It's hard to see on an elevation, but if you're there in the presence, it's already sort of connected by the deck. The overhangs almost touch right now. Almost overlap, one higher than the other. We agreed that we would keep the variance below this roof line up here. And we wanted to be site-specific on the north building. The windows might not be divided line. I understand there's some room for a little bit of adjustment, but it looks something like that. So, in looking at the variance request, you've all seen how we feel like the building's basically the math, and other situations wherein if we can't put this together, it doesn't start to make sense. It starts to look more like maybe you should build a new structure somewhere else. It's been a bit of a puzzle to get to this point, but we felt like if we can get the enclosure, we'd make this home. I think if Chris, you want to add anything, or
you want me to go ahead, or do you have a couple questions for him?
Say again, Chris.
Do you want me to go ahead, or do you have some questions for him before we move forward?
Go ahead.
Okay. So as Nick said, the request is the same as last time for the two setbacks. What we requested last time at the meeting was to bring back elevations and plans that were more specific and in line with section 3.4.6D, which is on page 3 of the original packet of information. And he has submitted those. So the plans that were done by Bill, which are the ones that are on the screen and that are included in the staff report, we would be able to approve through a building permit process. So staff feels that he has satisfied that request to bring in a set of plans that we could move forward through the building permit process. So meeting that, now the board needs to determine if they feel like these are adequate, and also determine if the variance request now meets the 5 criteria that are started on page 4 of your staff report, the original staff report. And the COAs have not changed from what we originally placed in the staff report, nor have the findings of fact.
Thanks, Chris. Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah,
for Nick?
There can be alterations to these plans. These are just still sketches, right? I mean, if you wanted another window on this west side or something, this isn't set in stone what you have to build.
When you approve a variance, and I know you're new to this, they are site specific. So when he brings in his building permits, they should pretty much look like this. And that's why he had to come back in to meet that criteria number D.
I did have both the engineer and the architect come back out and look specifically at this, just so we had to live with it.
You're happy with it?
Yeah. I mean, Tracy hasn't given a whole lot of input yet, so we'll see. But my understanding is if there's some very minor changes, that they can change it administratively, but we would be happy with this. It's a big ask for us, because literally without being able to use that, there's not a lot of other places to put what we would consider a bedroom on the main floor, and we're kind of looking at this for good, as long as it works for our kids. So we're just thinking about limiting stairs, things that might happen here in the next year, 20 years for us, but we are prepared to accept what's here. Light is here, and it's I think could work out very well as far as design goes.
Anyone else have questions of that?
I don't have any right now.
Okay, Brian.
No, that was it. I mean, it's pretty, the packet's pretty well written.
Thank you.
Does anyone feel that there's a need for further discussion?
How in depth was it the last time around? I don't want to rehash.
No, go for it.
If the windows were the only thing that we brought them back for,
and we had a site-specific plan, I don't know that I see the need to go through all the others, except to say I believe that staff has been accurate in their assessment of the applicable regulations, in particular 3.46, A1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. We'll close discussion. Is everyone ready to vote? Let's vote. All in favor of granting the variance?
We do not have a motion.
Say again?
I'll make a motion approve this variance with findings of fact 1 through 5 as written and conditions 1 through 9 as written.
Second?
Aye.
Is that second, Mr. Thorne?
Yes. Yeah.
Now we can vote. All in favor of granting the variance signify by saying aye.
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 It's unanimous.
Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion. Does the staff have any further for us?
No, I don't believe we have anything scheduled.
No education things.
Oh,
is there another or anything else on the table, or will that come back?
There's two variances.
I would like to clarify something before we move forward, because there were two variances, and you said you made the findings of fact 1 through 5. And the COA 1 through 9, but I don't know, as you included the motion, to specify what you were approving.
Brian,
we had two variances. Was that
there are two variances that are proposed by the staff. Do you want to say that you adopt the recommendations of the staff with respect to both motions, both variances? Sorry.
Yes. I mean, we want to do this in one motion or two?
You could do it in one motion, saying you're approving the 14.71. As it's written in there, number one, 14.71 feet from the north property line for the existing, how it's worded, and then number two, you can both have one motion and the vote on that.
That's what I can't find the number.
It's on the very front page of the, says one and two, down a little bit.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
One is for the non-conforming structure. The other
or I'll make a motion to 14 point. No, I mean, we can take it as two since we've already done the first one. Or however you want to do it. I'll make a motion to
go for it. It's your motion.
14 or number two, 42.92. Is that?
Okay, I'm still a little confused. So you're putting.
No, is it PL 18-174? Is that?
Yes.
That's the first one.
That's the entire 18-174 is the project number. So there are two variances in front of you. One is as shown under number one there, and then two, the 42.9.
Okay, I was hoping to do one and two.
Okay.
Just put it as a single motion?
Right.
Okay.
Is that what you want?
It's as long as everyone's on board. There's not a problem with that.
I think what he's trying to do is clarify the distance of the variance.
For both.
For both. To make it.
Was I doing that? Was the motion I made was that for both? Are we?
I don't know, because I wasn't quite clear of what your motion was.
Brian, is that what you intended?
Well, that was my intent, but then as things were going, I wanted to make it clear that I didn't miss something.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And now I think I'm clear.
Okay.
Okay. That was. So I didn't know if I'd have to make.
We have Sarah here. It's
we have anything further this evening? No, from staff.
No.
I would like to introduce. Are we done with this?
We are done.
Yes.
Yes.
Bye,
Nick. I'll get back with you.
Get out while you can.
Yeah. Before we get really confused. I would like to introduce Tegan Anderson. She's our new Planner One.
And sooner or later, she'll be attending a lot of meetings for the Board of Adjustment, just so that you'll know a new face in our department.
Great. Nice to meet you.
Welcome.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
Second?
Her last.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Everything was in the commissioner's office, so I got every single one of their
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. So.